It's time to share your story. Welcome to Revealing Conversations with Patron Nicole. Heart-led discussions that reveal, release, and unveil. You will leave this hour lighter, brighter, and inspired. And now, here's Patron Nicole.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Revealing Conversations with Petra. It's been an interesting week, I'm sure, for a lot of people who had a chance to be on the listening to the debate. I think they had the biggest turnout in history. I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, I won't go into politics or my orientation here, but I did think about how wonderful it would be if our politicians could not fight so much and could not attack each other for just 90 minutes, if that was possible. That would be great. Anyway, I leave it. It's the week has gone by really quickly. We had a tremendous amount of fun at the Life Sparks book signing, and my book was out already, and so I was very excited to have the other authors of Life Sparks there with me to support, and we had a wonderful turnout and got to spend the evening with some of the ladies and stayed up very late. Got to talk about so many subjects that we hadn't covered before, so it was truly a pleasure to meet many of the authors that I had not met before. Deepak Chopra is in town at the Convention Center this week on Thursday, and of course I have tickets to go, so if you haven't gotten tickets or you didn't know about it, please purchase your tickets. He will be here for the evening. I think it starts at 7 p.m. You can find that on my Facebook page at facebook.com/transformationalstorycoach. There should be, if you scroll down, you'll find I Am Genie Tickets. It's an organization that puts this event together. And I have the great pleasure today to introduce to you a healing artist and international best-selling author. Her name is Veronica Lynch, and she's a PhD. She shares about her contribution to Life Sparks. We are co-authors together in the book. And her story, The Unexpected Laminectomy, is in the book. And I just read that this morning. It's amazing. It's an extraordinary story, and I had to Google what laminectomy was, and I'm fascinated to find out more about that. As a director and co-founder of Create Whole Wellness Services, LLC, Veronica Lynch is dedicated to teaching inspirational and supportive techniques for creating healthy balances in life. She is a licensed clinical social worker and integrative health coach. Her mission is to empower others to take charge of their life and to move past the obstacles that stand in the way of their happiness. Dr. Lynch is the creator of the 7 Balancing Acts to Wholeness, a path to revitalization. Her passion is to help others raise their life force energy to put an end to suffering and to create a new and vital life. Wow. Veronica, are you on the other line?
Yes, I am, Petra.
Well, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
So tell me a little bit about you and what happened for the listener who hasn't had a chance to read the story. How long did you actually suffer from back problems?
Well, let's see. In 2009, I remember feeling a pain in my back one day as I was picking up something in my backyard, but I just thought it would go away. I continue my regular exercise routines, and I was using home remedies such as heating pads, Epsom salt, bath, doing my yoga, and so on for quite a while, only feeling periodic discomfort. So fast forward to 2014 on Thanksgiving night. I had this excruciating pain in my back, and it went all the way down the back of my legs, both legs, down to my instep, which literally put me in bed. At this point, I knew it was time to do something different. So in January, that January 2015, I made my way to New York to see my primary physician, and he referred me to a neurologist. So after the neurologist examined me, he felt that physical therapy would be helpful. So for 1 year, I did physical therapy, chiropractic sessions, acupuncture, massages, but none of it really helped. So when I returned to my neurologist, he said that because there was no improvement, that he would recommend that I see a neurosurgeon for consultation. So I met with the neurosurgeon and began a full battery of tests, including CAT scans, MRIs, sonograms. I even had an EMT, an electromyography, which confirmed that I had a pinched nerve at that time. So by now, I could not really walk. I couldn't even walk 20 feet without having to sit on something, say like a bench, a crate, anything that I could find on the street, or I would just not go outside at all. So that's when I decided that I would go on with the laminectomy.
Mm-hmm.
Surgery.
So can you so what exactly is a laminectomy? I looked that up on Google, and it's fascinating. But for the listeners today, I know so many people suffer with back issues, and I have. Heard this before, this particular problem that you had to face, which must have been just so hard. So explain to the listener what that is exactly.
Okay. Well, I'll read this definition for you. A laminectomy is a surgical procedure to remove the lamina, which is the back of one or more vertebra, usually to give access to the spinal cord or to relieve pressure on nerves. Now, during the procedure, the back part of the bone that forms the vertebral arch in the spine is open to create space for the nerves to flow through. Mm-hmm. Now, my diagnosis was lumbar sacral spondylosis. And they explained that I was born with a small spinal canal, and over time and with age, the canal got smaller and resulted in pinched nerve. I guess I also developed stenosis, which is arthritis, and it made it difficult for the nerves to flow through my spine. So during the laminectomy, they cleaned out the stenosis, which is the arthritis buildup, and fused several vertebra. So I received about 8 titanium screws and 2 rods into certain parts of my spine to stabilize it.
Wow. So what was that like? I mean, going through, how do you prepare for something like this, and how do you even recover? I mean, I can't even imagine it.
Well, I prayed a lot. I meditated and I visualized my body being strong and healthy. I consulted with God and, you know, my divine team, and basically stretched out on faith that this was in divine order. I didn't really anticipate anything to arise to impede my progress, but if so, I knew I would deal with it and keep the faith. And sure enough, something did arise. 2 weeks after my surgery, I began to feel pain under my left breast when I breathed deeply. I couldn't ignore it and say, well, it's probably gas or it will go away or it's nothing, I'll deal with this later. I was really glad that my follow-up appointment was due. And so I immediately told the doctor's assistant what I was experiencing, and I was sent directly to the emergency. And after they had done many tests, they discovered a small pulmonary embolism, which is a blood clot in my left lung.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, I was readmitted to the hospital for a few more days to start the process of dissolving the clot. I guess because I was having back pain, I wasn't really able to continue my daily exercise routine as I usually would. And I guess being sedentary could have caused the blood clot. But I was so grateful that I paid close attention to my body signs and messages. The blood clot could have been deadly, you know. I'm so blessed and feel so grateful that I took action quickly.
Well, you were obviously supposed to be here. So.
Yes. Yes.
So after you had all these titanium plates and et cetera, put inside of you, so how did you recover? I mean, what is that like now in your life? I mean, it's only been 2 years since the surgery. What is your quality of life like at this moment?
I'm actually still in recovery right now. The surgery was this year, March the 2nd is when I had my surgery. So it's about almost 6 months now, and I'm just recovering, and I'm doing really well. Of course, being in that position after the surgery, I was not able to do anything for myself. And I had to depend on my caregivers and the doctors and the nurses. And they had referred me to the visiting nurse service after I was discharged. So I had to allow them to take care of me. And I could not feed myself. I could not bathe. I had the resources put in place to help me until, you know, I'm able to ambulate with my walker and my cane, and to where I am now. I'm just, my body feels great, and I'm recovering very nicely without no aids or no medication at all.
Well, congratulations. That is
extraordinary. Thank you.
You're an inspiration to a lot of people there. But I bet you also eat very healthy, and I bet you probably have a lifestyle that judging from your background as a writer, seven balancing acts to wholeness, a path to revitalization. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yes. At Create Whole Wellness Services, we are actually in a relaunch of our website, which is called Bliss Retreats and Inward Sanctuary. And basically what we do there is we provide a certain amount of services for people. We use different forms of art, storytelling, poetry, nutrition, piano lessons, to help energy work, to help people heal and find peace and bliss in their lives. We also offer small group retreats, and for anyone who wants to hold a small group retreat, we have the space available for them to do that. And our retreats are aimed to help people through personal exploration and meditation. It's an ideal location. It's in South Carolina in the Lowcountry. And if anyone wants to just get away for a weekend, a short getaway, the Lowcountry is the place to go at Bliss Retreat.
boy, I need one of those right now. So, you know, I do energy work, and I have been teaching Reiki and emotional processing for 25 years. And so whenever something shows up physically in someone's life or in my own life, I always immediately have to dig a little deeper and find out what's going on energetically with the person. So I would like to find out if you were able to sort of uncover what was going on with you at the time, you know, with this having, well, you were probably, you as you explained, with the spinal cord being shorter or being confined somehow, is the, and you were born with that, yes?
Yes, yes.
That was from birth, because I heard recently a child who is 9 years old having that same problem, and they were wondering if they should do surgery now or wait till later, and then the surgeon recommended to wait till, you know, till the body is grown, to adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
So I am just really curious about your thoughts on this whole thing.
I learned during this whole experience that there are many people who were born with a small spinal canal. And for me, that's what had happened. And I guess over time, it got smaller. And, of course, you know, with age, it deteriorated a bit. So that's why they had to go in and open the lamina, that back part for me, so that I can walk. And, you know, the pain has totally gone. I haven't felt any of the pain behind my legs or anywhere. So, yeah, there are people who are born with small spinal canal.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's fascinating, fascinating. So when you talk about life force energy and helping people raise their life force energy, did you connect that somehow with what was going on physically with the emotional state of where you were at?
Yes. I think that, you know, at the time, I guess, I was under a lot of pressure as well, and I was doing a lot of things that I guess at some point felt overwhelming. But for the most part, this has been going on since 2009. It's just that I didn't know what exactly it was. And, you know, initially when I felt that pinch, I imagine other people do the same thing. For me, I just assumed, you know, it was nothing to worry about. I'm healthy, I'm strong, you know, I'm doing my work, and I can just fight it. It's not a big deal. I could continue to do my baths and my heating pads and all that. And I put it off. I didn't take action right away. So I knew that I believe that had I taken some action sooner, I would have saved myself all the pain and the suffering that I experienced, you know, up to 5 years, 6 years later when I finally took action. Yeah, but I think it's important to be present to listen to the messages that your body is giving off, and I neglected to do that. I knew I was feeling it, and I didn't take action right away. I just put it off, and this is what happened. I became helpless in some way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's easy to overlook the signs that the body gives us when we're all stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're living in such a stressful time. I mean, just the bombardment of the electromagnetic field alone, you know, through cell phones and other devices is enough to send you through the roof for those people
right.
who are sensitive to that. So, I mean, I really don't know anybody, excuse me, who isn't stressed at some point. So, and there's
yeah.
healthy stress. There's that healthy stress, and I work personally really hard on staying out of stress when I can avoid it. but, you know, even driving in traffic can be stressful. Just try living in Los Angeles. That would be stressful. So, and watching the debates, that was very stressful. I was standing in the living room. I couldn't even sit down. I was on the edge of my seat. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
I was definitely creating.
I was watching it, too. I just sat there and listened to everything. And afterwards, I was listening to all the comments and what other people had to say. And, you're right. I mean, that was a little stressful. But you know what? I'm thinking as you were talking, when in 2014, it was Thanksgiving Day night when I remember just standing at the window looking out when I felt the pain. And talking about embarrassing, I had company, I had guests, and we had just had this wonderful 7-course meal. And to feel that excruciating pain in my back, I was like, wow, something needs to happen. I need to do something differently. So that was very stressful for me at the time as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I believe that things happen, you know, greatest challenges are sometimes our biggest blessings. I understand that concept as well. And I believe that having this, first of all, the blessing is making the decision to do the surgery. And then having the surgery has been such a rewarding and blessed experience for me that I really am happy to share it, to help to inspire others to take action sooner than later.
Well, I'm very happy for you that it turned out so positive, in such a positive way, that you are recovering and you have no pain. Because I don't think there's anything worse than living with constant pain. And trying to manage that, it's just the quality of life is so reduced, and I feel a lot of compassion for people who go through pain on a daily basis. I don't know, because I'm definitely someone that cannot handle physical pain. I don't want to. So I mean, every day grateful that I live in a healthy body and I don't have any physical pain. So it's very difficult. It's very, very, very hard.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that it's so vital to take quick action so that you don't have to miss out on your life by being in that state of pain for such a long time.
So, Veronica, share with us a little bit of how you actually... you're a PhD, you are dedicated to teaching inspirational and supportive techniques to healthy balances in life. So tell me a little bit about how you were drawn to this work that you do and where you came from, where you were born, and how you were inspired to go in that direction.
Okay. I was born in Antigua in the West Indies and reared for much of my youth in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands, before settling here in America in my teens. And I am a certified licensed clinical social worker, and I am also an integrative health coach, and I also have a PhD in metaphysics. And I've always been inspired and desired to work with others to help them to find happiness and peace and break through blocks that keep them from moving forward. Create Whole Wellness Services, LLC, which will be a Bliss Retreat. An Inward Sanctuary is a collaboration, as I said before, to create space and the retreat space, as well as services for those who need the services that we can provide. What else? I was educated at Columbia University, and I also am a graduate of the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, where I studied holistic nutrition. And those are some of the things that I integrate into my work.
And how do you do that?
I'm sorry?
And how do you integrate nutrition with your work? Is this, do you write diet plans for people? Do you?
Yes.
How do you do that? Yeah.
Yes, of course, I do cooking classes at the retreat center where all the events take place. We do cooking classes, and of course, we do lifestyle coaching. I love to create new recipes and create meal plans for people who are working on eating healthy and creating a more balanced lifestyle. My sister, I had one sister who had diabetes, and working with her, she successfully reversed a diabetes, and she's now talking to people about eating healthy and how to live well. And that's something that I'm very proud of. And I enjoy giving tips and strategies for healthy living. And I love to eat. I love to cook. It's interesting that the night I was had just prepared all that food on Thanksgiving 2014, I was cooking. I love feeding people. And, yeah, and the retreat space is we're launching in the near future so that we can provide more services to others and invite people who want to just get away and be in a calm, peaceful environment, which will be our retreat space.
Well, that's so exciting. That is so exciting. We have that in common. I used to own a vegetarian restaurant, juice bar, and healing center with a bookshop. And in the back, mm-hmm. we did massage therapy and alphabiotics and other things. I taught a lot of Reiki classes there. And I owned that restaurant for 4 years in a town that, you know, literally I was the very first person in that town that opened a juice bar or vegetarian health food restaurant. So it was, mm-hmm. of course, a very, very big learning curve for the community. But
yeah.
my absolute highlight of the entire 4 years was the day when a construction worker, I think he was the head of the crew, this gentleman was, it was raining really hard outside, and this man comes in covered in mud and sneezing and sick and coughing. And I made him one of our superpower juices, which was carrot, beet, apple, ginger with extra ginger, because I knew that ginger would knock out the cold. You know, it would raise the body temperature. And he drank this, and he drank a 24-ounce juice freshly made on the spot. And he came in the next day with 7 construction workers that were also covered in mud. And I will never forget that as long as I live. He said, you guys, you have to do this because it's going to help and we're all going to be okay. So let this lady take care of you. And I, you know, in the days when I lived in an ashram, I was in charge of the kitchen at that time, and we had a sprouting program. And so I'm very passionate about food and healthy food in particular, and, you know, and helping people supplement their diets with things that can help them heal. So,
that's beautiful. Yes, because I feel that food is medicine, and food can mm-hmm. heal you, or food can make you sick. And I've studied all the dietary theories and modern and Western and nutrition and Eastern nutrition. So I see food as something that can really make the difference in one's life. So that's beautiful.
Yes, coming from the East Coast, right? You're on the East Coast.
Yes.
Yeah. Coming from the East Coast, are you familiar with Dr. Ann Wigmore?
Dr. who?
Ann Wigmore.
Yes, I know the name, Dr. Wigmore, yes.
So Dr. Ann Wigmore started the Hippocrates Institute in Boston, and there is also an affiliate hospital or health center, it's not a hospital, in near Chula Vista, California. And there's a story of a friend of mine, excuse me, who had contracted colon cancer. And she went to the Optimum Health Clinic in Chula Vista and was put on a fast and juice enema with wheatgrass juice, because Dr. Wigmore was an advocate of wheatgrass, which is also something I was very, very, very involved with in my juice bar. And I had a lot of cancer patients that would come in and get their 6 or 10 ounces of wheatgrass every single day. And, you know, 1 ounce of wheatgrass is the equivalent of, I can't remember how many pounds of green, leafy green vegetables, but it's very, very potent and really helps revitalize the body and nutrition-wise. And anyway, yeah. Dr. Wigmore, the story goes that she was a Jewish girl in Germany with her grandmother, and they were hiding in a farmhouse underground in the cellar. And there was a bag of wheat berries that fell out and would grow these grasses out of it in the ground. And she would chew on this, and subsequently her grandmother and her chewing on these grasses, their hair and their teeth wouldn't fall out because they were getting some nutrition when everybody else was starving. So Dr. Wigmore came to the United States, and she obviously became a doctor and started researching wheatgrass and the power of it. So that's a little bit, and she has several cookbooks out, and it's a very, very exciting story. So,
Juicing is so vital. The nutrients that you can get from the actual juice, the potency of it, it really does make a difference in one's, even your energy, you know, your vitality. So definitely, that's beautiful.
I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I go through phases where I choose something and then I stop again because it's a lot, you know, I go through my little phases, but I like to keep reminding myself every day, you know, big sign on the refrigerator, you have a juicer. Remind me, I have a juicer, because a lot of people own juicers, but they're sitting somewhere in the cabinet, right?
Yeah.
So it's funny how we end up going for convenience and not for health.
Yeah, one of the things that I like to do, if I don't get a chance to do my juicing, I do love smoothies, and I try to at least include one smoothie as maybe a meal replacement at times during the day. And that works very well for me, and you can get the nutrients in your smoothie as well. And so there's a part of our program where we offer, we do a smoothie challenge for people from time to time, and it's always so interesting to get feedback from clients who enjoy the smoothie and can tell the difference in their bodies in a period of time. So between juicing and smoothie, I think it makes a difference to include one of those any day, every day, if you can.
Well, for the listener out there, I will post something about wheatgrass today on my website or on my Facebook page, because I'm on the page right now, you know, refreshing my memory on everything that wheatgrass is. And certainly, smoothies are huge, and people find them easier to do than necessarily the juicing, because it does make a mess and there's cleanup and all of that. And smoothies are fast, and you can use blueberries or you know, any kind of berry and different protein powders and so forth. So I love that too, and it makes life, I feel complete when I do it. I feel like I did something right for myself when I have my smoothie in the morning.
I do too, and the good thing about smoothie, like you were saying, it's less cleanup, and it's something that you can prepare ahead of time. You just, you know, whether it's bananas or blueberries, whatever kind of berries, pineapple, you could always throw them in the freezer and have them ready for a quick smoothie in 5 minutes, sometimes less than 5 minutes, and you're ready to go and you're off on your day.
So, Veronica, I know you said something about gifts for our listeners, that you're sharing some beautiful gifts with us. 10 steps to more bliss. Do you want to share a little bit of information about that?
Yes. Basically, the gift which I will, because my website, the new website is being relaunched soon, I don't have those 10, that guide for as a gift today to hand out. But if people would give me they'll send me an email, and I could give you my email, that I will get it to them as soon as possible. This is a 10 steps to bliss, and it's basically a guide to help someone who wants to experience a blissful state of being, and following the guide will help them to achieve that.
So what are some of the steps to become more blissful? I would like to become more blissful today.
Well, I don't have it in my hand right now, but I can certainly send that information to someone if they send me an email.
One of the major things is
to make wellness your priority, and taking the steps to make that happen. What to do, what to eat, how to focus on something that you would like to manifest, and there are 10 steps that's in this guide, and I think it's a very helpful guide. I use it from time to time, and I would like to share it as a gift to others. I'm sorry I don't have the actual list in front of me right now, but as I said, it's...
That's okay. What is your email? Can you share your email with the listeners?
Sure. It's Vero Joy, VeroJoy, @ createwhole.com. That's CreateWhole.com. Verojoy @ createwhole.com.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm looking forward to receiving the 10 Steps to More Bliss by Veronica R. Lynch. How exciting. It's really, really so inspirational that you are doing these retreats. I have been passionate about workshops and retreats for the last 25 to 30 years, and have personally taught probably over 200 of them. I used to have 5 acres outside of Roseburg, Oregon, in Glide, and we had a sweat lodge, and there was a meadow, and I would have many retreats during the summertime where people would come and pitch their tents and do rock painting and yoga or qigong in the meadow or tai chi. And we had a herbal specialist from Eugene come in each time, who would take people on a nature walk up to the beautiful waterfalls in Oregon, which there are so many. And it was always very funny. She wrote a really important book on herbs, and she would take people to the waterfall, and it was supposed to be a 3-hour trip, and that 3-hour trip every single time turned into an 8-hour trip. So eventually I just started planning in the whole day just for her. and we would find edible herbs in Oregon from Oregon grape roots, which is great for sinus infections, to, oh my gosh, there was so many wild ginger, all kinds of incredible things. And I learned so much from her, and hopefully I will be interviewing her one of these days on the show. But Veronica, I have just a few more questions, if that's okay. We have time. We have another 10 minutes or so. When you grew up and you came to the United States, what was that like for you? I'm a foreigner as well, and so I'm always very curious to talk to people that come, you know, from foreign countries to the United States. What was that like for you?
Well, it was not easy coming to a place that I had never been before and being integrated into a new culture. So it's been very difficult to assimilate for me. It was. I mean, I feel like I'm doing so much better now, but being an immigrant in this country, in the beginning, I didn't understand a lot of things. I didn't understand the culture, and it took me a while to really be able to find my voice and shine my light. So this is a time when I think the universe has designed for me to share my gifts, and so that is what I'm doing at this point.
Mm-hmm. So what were some of the cultural differences that really stood out to you?
Yeah. First of all, I came from a place that the weather is the same all year round. December, there's no snow or winter as such. The sun is always beautiful, and beautiful beaches, and just being in the Caribbean vibe is a whole different experience than being here. I had to learn the language, learn how to speak the language. I continue to eat the way that I like to eat, but I also like, the meals that I've learned to prepare here. It's such a big city. I remember at first when I came to New York and I got on the train, how nervous I was, and you weren't allowed to really look at people because they would accuse you of staring or something. And so I had to get used to just learning my way around in such a big city, coming from such a small place. My island is only like 108 square miles, so compare that to a big city like New York, it's been very, that was challenging in the beginning. And so, you know, going to school and learning my craft and meeting other like-minded people, that has really helped me. And, of course, my family. I was only 17 when I got here, so I've come a long way. And being on my own at that time, because my parents had died. My mother had died when I was 12, and my father when I was about 14, 15. So I was pretty much on my own, and so the adjustment here has not always been easy. But as I said before, I'm here now, thank God, I'm doing great, and I'm ready and prepared to share my authentic stand, my authentic self with others at this point.
Wow, that must have been quite the journey. I cannot imagine it. Losing your mother at 12, your father at 14, and then coming to a foreign country from a place like in the Caribbean. Oh, my gosh. So that must be just, I mean, I had a massive culture shock when I came here first. I grew up in a village outside of Munich, and there were lots of traditions and lots of family around, and I had already been living in a foreign country. I was living in London for 7 or 8 years, and then went to India and to Paris, and then came to the United States via India with my spiritual teacher who flew me here. And so for me it was not as much of a culture shock, you know, and I was 24, not 17 either. But I remember even the first time I arrived in England and didn't speak the language, you know, and I thought I knew English, but I got to London and I couldn't understand a single word anybody said because it wasn't school English, you know.
So I one language I didn't exactly speak. You know, just the culture shock, like you were talking about, that was huge. And then I was undocumented, so I had to figure out a way to be in the world. So I spent a lot of years hiding and holding that secret. Aww. And did not reveal, my status for a long time. And I think that also helped to marginalize me in a lot of ways. So, until I became a citizen, things began to be better. But even though you become a citizen, doesn't mean that the fear or the feelings that you had before doesn't continue. So I've had to do a lot of work on myself and, mm-hmm. in my environment and my community. And, mm-hmm. my outlook in life now is very clear. And like I said, I am ready to share my light.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can hear from your voice and from just feeling from your energy that you're an extremely compassionate person because you had yourself mm-hmm. to go through such intense obstacles, I mean, and so many tests, I mean, from whether they're yeah. physical or emotional, mental, just anybody yeah. who it comes to a foreign country, loses parents at a young age, especially as a teenager, that is huge. That
yes.
is, I, it's very, very, very hard. And then having to hide
mm-hmm.
who
yeah.
you are or where you're from and not able to talk about it. And so
yeah.
how did you actually come to the country? I mean, how did you actually get to the United States? And what gave you the idea at 17 to leave the Caribbean?
Well, I came to America to, I had my sister, my older sister was living here, so I came to be with my sister.
So you did have family here. Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm from a very large family. So mm-hmm. I did come to be with my sister. My dream was always to go to college and to get an mm-hmm. education. And, you know, just like my faith in dealing with the laminectomy, the surgery, my faith, I just have very strong faith in the divine, in God. And I knew that God would take care of me even as I was coming to a different country. And I've always had very strong faith in God. And, mm-hmm. I like I said, I lived with my sister for a while, but after... after I got older, I began to live on my own and got my own apartment and got a job and this was all happening at 17. So I'm happy that I was able to I'm able to be here today to tell this story and to share it and. Because I know how it impacted me, and I know that there are a lot of other people in the same situation. Fortunately, I'm now a citizen and have been for many, many, many years now, but I understand the difficulty it is for people who are undocumented, and it's an issue that needs to be continue to be addressed. In this
mm-hmm.
country,
mm-hmm.
and it's
yeah.
there's so much turmoil going on with that, within families and communities, and it's definitely something that needs to be addressed.
Yes, indeed, it does, and the refugee crisis is just growing
mm-hmm.
and growing and growing. I know that in
yeah.
my country, in Germany. There are
yeah.
so many refugees still trying to come in that are displaced, and Germany has taken a lot of them. but it's overwhelming the country as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's difficult to deal with this, and it would be great if it's in the future somewhere. I don't know how long it's going to take, 100 years, 200 years, or 2,000 years, if there could ever be peace on this beautiful planet we call Earth.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I wonder often if that is even possible, given the fact that humans have seem to have such a hunger for power somehow.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
like they say, you know, power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. So with that,
yeah.
I'd say let's evolve to the next level, realizing
yes.
that no one can have peace until every person on this planet has shelter, food, and the basic human needs met.
Yes. And I really believe in, being in love. And at this point in time, I just think that the power of love, you want power, I think love is the way to go, love and light. And so
exactly.
those of us who are bearers of love and light, we need to carry on the work and shine the light in the darkness of this world.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's repeat one more time your email address, please, Veronica, if you would, so we could make sure that in case anybody joined the show just now that they know how to get a hold of your 10 steps to more bliss. I will also post the email on my Facebook page later so people can access it there.
Okay.
Could you repeat it one more time?
Sure. It's VeroJoy. V as in Victor. VeroJoy. At CreateWhole.com. VeroJoy@createwhole.com.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And Veronica, it was a pleasure to speak with you today. Thank you for inspiring us with your work and what you do and who you are. And I am so happy that you are recovering from the surgery and that you're feeling great and no more pain.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
It's really
Thanks
been
being
a pleasure being with you today. And thank you so much for having me. I just want to say one last thing, Petra. I guess it's like a message for those who are listening. And, you know, I just feel like I want to say don't miss out on your life because you have back problems or other health issues. You know, don't procrastinate and put off for tomorrow what you need to do today. Because as Sir Thomas More, he is a social philosopher and author, he said, what is deferred is not avoided. So I realized that I had deferred my care, my taking care of myself, but I did not avoid it. So I just want to say to others, to those who are listening, to please take care of yourself and don't put it off.
Thank you for sharing that and again, for being on the show, Veronica. It's a pleasure to know you.
Thank
so,
you.
So
in
closing to the show, and those words by that Veronica just repeated by Thomas More, he wrote the book, The Care of the Soul, beautiful, beautiful book, probably one of my favorite books in the world. Very true. We cannot defer it. We have to deal with it. So things that we have to deal with them now. Don't procrastinate. Look at them and allow them to teach you the lesson and then take the lesson and move forward because all of these things show up for a specific reason for us to grow and evolve. And again, this is Petra, Revealing Conversations on Blog Talk Radio. We have a wonderful project going on right now. The Life Sparks book is on Kindle today and tomorrow for 99¢. I just got the message last night from the authors, and you can get it for 99 cents, just go to facebook.com/transformationalstorycoach. Click on the link and order your 99 cent copy. And what this will do is help everyone involved in this incredible project to get on the bestseller list at Amazon. Because if you, the listener, if everyone orders one copy and we get it, and you share it with your community and we get 100 copies sold, then we automatically get on the bestseller list. So please help us out with that. And again, I have a complimentary MP3 meditation on Golden Light Meditation download on my website at www.petranicole.com. That's PetraNicoll.com. And if you are so inclined, sign up for my 60-minute complimentary coaching session. I'd love to hear from you, love to get to know you. And again, we are blessed to be here. It's a good day. Have a wonderful time and talk to you next Tuesday. Arrivederci. Bye-bye.